We serve and worship a holy God. And those of us that have been saved and have experienced some degrees of God's glory, we know Him to be holy. When we were convicted and lost and in our sins, and as we come to God and we were seeking after God, we were our sins were exposed. It was revealed to us. It was shown to us just how far we were, how distant we were away from God. That we were sinners, and He was holy. Amen. And the only thing that could ever bring those two together was the Lamb of God. Right. Amen. Everybody that knows God knows that. Amen. It's all because of the crucifixion. It's all because of the atonement. It was all because of the sacrifice of Jesus that we are saved. Amen. He washed us. He saved us by His blood. Amen. That atoning death of Jesus Christ on the cross brought the lost sinner together with a holy God. Our sins were transferred to the Son. Amen. The wrath. I mean, we were not just transgressors and sinners. The wrath of God was upon us. The judgment and condemnation for our transgressions against a holy and a just God were before us, but was transferred from us to Jesus. He bore the wrath of God that we deserve. He took our place. Amen. That's why we love the Lord Jesus so much. No man took His life. He laid it down willingly. And no greater love hath a man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. But when we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. He died for us when we're yet sinners. Christ died. When we were rebels under the wrath and condemnation because of our own transgressions, because of our own sins, I hope you realize that every time you sin, you deserve to die. Amen. The wages of sin is death. The only reason God did not strike you down dead because of your transgression is because He loves you and He was merciful to you. And for now, He's withholding that wrath and withholding that judgment and withholding that condemnation, hoping that you'll come to repentance. Amen. The Bible says the goodness and the mercy of God leads us to repentance. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to hear the gospel, the good news. I mean, I'm just trying to deliver the news. The first job I had was a paper boy. I'm just still delivering the news. I can't save you. I can't redeem you. The only thing I can do for you is tell you of the good and glorious things that Christ has awaiting you if you'll come to Him. Amen. So I tell the good news. That's what the word gospel means. The definition for gospel is the good news. The good news is you don't have to perish. The good news is you don't have to go to hell. The good news is that Jesus bore your transgressions. He bore your iniquity. He became sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The only way you can ever go to heaven and come into the presence of a holy God is to be made righteous. And we are made righteous by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nobody goes to heaven because of something they did. They go to heaven because of what Jesus did. Yeah. It's because of His righteous life that we have righteousness. It's because of His atoning death that we have forgiveness. Is there anybody here that knows anything about forgiveness? Isn't it wonderful? God will come on the scene and He will make you conscious of your condemnation. He'll make you aware of your iniquity and your transgression. I believe in conviction, don't you? The Holy Spirit is here this morning reproving the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Of sin. Listen, I know about the reprovings of sin. And the Holy Ghost will come and begin to prick your heart and trouble your soul, and suddenly you'll be made aware that you're lost and undone and separated from God. And when that happens, there's only one remedy for your lostness, and that's Jesus. Amen. You'll know that. You'll experience that, right? Yeah. This thing is real. There's a way that seems right, but it's the wrong way. There are a lot of people that are just stumbling around in the dark. Come into the light. Oh, I pray this morning that the light of the glorious gospel will shine in your heart. Do you realize the reason you don't see these precious truths is because the God of this world, Satan himself, has blinded your eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should come into your mind and come into your heart. The reason the good news of Jesus Christ hasn't penetrated your heart and mind is because you're blinded by Satan. Now, it doesn't take a lot of intelligence to realize that there's goodness and there's evil in the world. There's bad and good in the world, right? Anybody with any sense about them, they see that. I'm thankful for the good that's in the world. And the good things are the things of God. God has given us a lot of good. He has shown His goodness toward us. He's shown you goodness in letting you be here this morning. He's shown us goodness in letting the sun rise. The world, the firmament, it declares the goodness and the glory of God. The firmament declares His handiwork. It rains on the just and the unjust. God has been good to us. He's good. God is good. He's been good to you, and He wants you to come to know Him through His Son. I'm glad Jesus came, are you? I'm glad that God so loved you. And God so loved me, that God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Hey, the gospel is the gospel. The truth is the truth. And it'll turn your world upside down if you believe it. If you believe it, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will transform you. It'll bring you out of a bondage. It'll bring you out of a darkness. It'll bring you into the light. It'll bring you to the light of His glorious kingdom. It'll bring you into the kingdom of His dear Son. And when you are transformed, when your eyes are open and you're able to see, when your soul is exposed to the goodness and righteousness of the blood of Jesus, there's something that happens to you that rearranges you and puts you on a new way of life like you never known before, and it's a way called heaven. And I'm going that way. That's the journey I'm on. I'm going to heaven. And if you have never been saved by the grace of God, and I put great emphasis on grace, it is an undeserved, unmerited favor of God. You can't work your way in. You can't do something good to go to heaven. You can't do something to get in good standings with God. The only thing you can do is repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what I'm talking about. Tell you what. This is the good way. It is the good way. And people can call it the old paths. They can call it whatever they want to, but it's the good way. I've found the good way, and I'm walking in it, and it is a joy. It is a blessing. It's joy unspeakable. It's full of heavenly glory. Yeah. From time to time, I get a glimpse of His glory and His goodness. I get some fresh manifestations of His favor upon my life. I get to see His face. Though it's but through a glass darkly for now, one of these days, I'm going to see Him face to face. Oh, mate. I'm glad you're here. And I pray that God blesses us this morning. I know there's a lot of problems and a lot of difficulties and bad stuff in the world, but there's a God of glory and goodness who's accessible and available to us. He'll carry us over the problems and over the tribulations and over the trials to the degree where we'll glory in tribulation. some strength in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We can walk above the problems of this life, knowing that in the end all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, them that are called according to His purpose, that God is by His divine providence, is working out His purpose in our lives. And I trust Him with all of my heart. Amen. Trust Him with all of my heart. No matter what comes. He's God, and there is none other. He's God. He's Jehovah. He's God. And He is a supreme King and Lord of heaven and of earth. And He is over us. He deserves to have preeminence over us. He has authority over mortal man. We are the creation and He is the Creator. All things were made by Him, and not anything was made that was made by anything else. God is the maker and the creator of all things. And He deserves our praise and our honor and our glory. And you may go for a while and you may ignore those things and not pay attention to those things. Those things may not grip you, but there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus is going to split the eastern sky. And the heavens are going to roll back like a great scroll. And the stars are going to fall from heaven. And the sun is going to be turned to sackcloth as of hair. And the moon's going to turn to blood. And I'll tell you, you're going to run for the rocks and the mountains. And you're asking them to fall on you and hide you from the face of the Lamb. Amen. There's those of us that are saved. And we're going to be glad to see that day. Actually, we're looking forward to it. Tell you, I've had some stress in my life over the last week, especially with Hunter and his circumstance. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, just come quickly. Get me out of this mess. I know He's coming. He's going to right every wrong. God is by His power going to right every wrong. Every problem that sin has brought upon the human race, the Lord Jesus is going to give us a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. He's going to shine as the brightness of the sun, and there'll be no night there. I'll be honest with you, as I drove to church this morning, I asked my, I didn't know I was going to be able to preach. I got to cry. My wife said, you don't need to think about that now. You know, try to rise to the occasion. But listen, God is good. He's good all the time. And though there may be difficulties and trials and tribulations that we face, and there's a lot of dilemma and problems in this life, the Lord Jesus is accessible. He is available. He is the mediator between man and God. And we can go to God at any time, and He hears us when we pray. And you know, there's been... You may think I'm crazy. I don't even care if you think I'm crazy. There's been a couple of times in my life where I felt like that God was not going to answer my prayer the way I wanted it answered. And I've just said, Lord, just send us some angels to strengthen us like You sent angels to strengthen Your Son. Give Him a refreshed courage and strength. Lord, just send out some angels to kind of help us through this and lift us up over it. I tell you, God's done that. I felt the presence of their wings. I have felt the presence of their wings giving us refreshed strength and courage to go on and fight the battle. Well, listen, the war's not over, and the victory yet has not been fully won. But there is victory in Jesus. And one of these days, though it seems like through death there's been a defeat, and we put those bodies into the grave, but one of these days, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the resurrection of His Son, He's going to raise the dead. And we're going to step out of those graves. So grave. Where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? And we're going to shout as we soar through the air, and we're going to cry, victory in Jesus! Victory in Jesus! Victory! I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. And I know there's victory in Jesus. Oh, if you're here today and you don't know about the victory in Jesus, you are lost and in your sins. And you're on your way to a devil's hell, and you deserve to go there. And there's only one remedy for your circumstance. There's only one way for your situation. And that's the Lord's way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. You cannot come on your own by yourself. You need the help of God. And the only prayer and the only cry you have this morning is a prayer and a cry for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it's about time you become aware of your circumstances and your standing before Jehovah God, a God that is holy and righteous and full of wrath, a consuming fire. And you're going to have to get right with Him, or He's going to have to deal with you and your sins. And He has a place prepared. It wasn't prepared for you. It was actually prepared for the devil and his angels. But you'll go there if you don't get right. There is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. You need to avoid going there at all costs. You know, Jesus in His preaching on several occasions, He said it'd be better for you just cut off your hands and go through life with no hands rather than going to hell. It'd be better for you to pluck out your eyes and go through life blind than to go to hell. I mean, He was telling us and preaching to us and warning us to avoid hell at all costs. Whatever sins keep you separated from God today, you need to lay them on the altar. You need to put them at the feet of Jesus. You need to put them upon His back. Let Him be the burden bearer of your iniquities. And you can be saved if you'll trust Him to bear those sins. You know, there are occasions in our life where it becomes clear that there are choices before us. Moses, the giver of the law, went to Mount Sinai, saw the backside and glory of God. There were occasions where he stood before the people of Israel and he says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Amen. Another great leader of Israel, Joshua, when the people of Israel went wayward, stood before the people of God and said, choose you this day who you'll serve. Amen. There are times in our life when it is put before us by the power of God and the presence of His Holy Spirit, the gospel comes into our minds and our hearts, and we have to answer it. We have to respond to it. Amen. We know that God is bringing us to the brink of accountability, and we're accountable for what we're hearing. We're accountable for this choice before us. The great prophet Elijah built that altar. Baal and his prophets, you know, did all kinds of crazy things trying to get the fire to come down. Elijah, he just got on his knees and said, God? And the fire came down. And he said, he told the people on that day to choose between these two. either choose the devil and his ways and the world and its ways, or choose Christ and choose God and choose righteousness and goodness and blessing. One is a way of blessing, the other ways of cursing. And I believe there are occasions in our life, especially those of us that have been saved or members of the Lord's church, we stumbled into a church somewhere and that was brought before us and before our face and before our souls, and we came face to face with God and our lives before Him. I hope you saints are praying. I tell you, it became crystal clear to us, didn't it? Y'all know about that? Yeah, I mean, it was the day. Just like the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where grace is flowing toward you, where mercies are available to you, where Christ is crucified in front of you, where God is drawing you, where His hand is outreach to you, where His ear is listening for you, and you go to the altar and you cry out to God, and God hears you and saves you from your sins. Wow. Y'all know about that? We never give credit to the preacher. We don't give credit to the church. We give credit to God. We get up off that altar and it's like it was for Jonah down in the belly of the whale. Salvation is of the Lord. From beginning to end, He saved us. And you know, you get off that altar and you've been to the cross. I mean, you've been to the cross. I mean, not literally. I mean, spiritually, yes. Spiritually, you literally go there. And when you get there, oh man, that burden of sin and condemnation and wrath and wretchedness and sinfulness and lostness, it leaves. I mean, it just rolls off of you. It's not on your soul anymore. The account is settled. The account's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. And you stand, I mean, you just stand justified in the sight of God. Set free from sin. You're suddenly, you once were a child of the devil. I mean, you just lived under yourself and you did whatever you wanted to do. But now there's something happened to you where you know that you're part of the family of God, that you're a child of God. Something comes in you. I mean, when you get saved, something comes in you from God that lets you know that you pass from death into life. And you're alive. And it's more than that. I mean, it's a lot more than that. I can't even put it into words to tell you about the goodness of salvation. But I mean, your sins are like blotted out. They're like removed. They're erased. What Old Testament inspired of the Holy Spirit prophet said they're removed. They're thrown into the depths of the sea. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. I'm talking about your sins being gone. Gone. Blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Where God begins to treat you like you've never sinned. Wow. Whew. And then you ask, why those folks go to church? Why those folks spend time praying? Why those folks read their Bible or, you know, give of themselves? And why those folks get all excited down to victory, you know, when they get to singing sometimes? And why is that preacher up there sweating and spitting and carrying on? I tell you, it just changes your life. And I'm not explaining this to those of you that are saved, but I'm just trying to explain this to those of you that aren't saved. What this is all about. I mean, you know, we're just we're on a new road, and we've got a new journey, and we've got a new way about us, and it's the Lord's way, the Lord's work, and we become a part of the army of God. This work is progressive, and you know, there's a point of beginning. You begin to realize that you're a child of God, and you're on your way to heaven, and your sins have been washed away, and you've been cleansed, and the Spirit of God now lives in you, and you don't understand it, but you sense Christ living in you. Now, I know for the world that sounds absurd, but when you experience it, you know, Paul said in Galatians, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 20, he was talking about this new life that he was living. And he said, the life that I now live, I live unto the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ in us. What a blessing that is. Well, I remember there was this atheist that went to church, an old Methodist church service revival meeting years ago in the 1800s. An atheist, a skeptic, one who didn't even believe in God, but went down there to see what all these Christians were doing and what this was all about. And the preacher was preaching and stepped out off the podium into the aisle, and he challenged those that were there and were not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He challenged them to try it. Put it to the test. If there's nothing of it, nothing will happen to you. And he challenged the young people in that congregation and told them, if you'll just try it, you'll see for yourself that this is real. And there was a young man there by the name of B.H. Carroll that took that challenge. And he got saved. He took that challenge, and he experienced experimental knowledge. He became a great Baptist preacher. He was the president and founder of the first Southern Baptist Seminary. Christians know this is real. And if you have any doubts about it, if it's not real, if you try it, nothing will happen to you. But if you'll take the challenge and you'll move toward God, God will move toward you. Amen. And you know what? I think you're just a coward and you're scared that's exactly what will happen to you. You're a coward. The Bible says that he took those that were... he took all the wicked people of the world in the book of Revelation, and he took the whoremongers and the idolaters and the liars and the fearful. That's the first one, was the fearful. He took the fearful, the cowards, those who would not respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he cast them into the lake of fire. You're just a coward. You know that if you might try this thing called Jesus, this work at Calvary, this being part of the family of God, this Christian movement. You know that, or you think that if you did try it, something might happen to you. It might just be real, and so you're staying away from it. I pray you change your cowardly ways. You'll move toward the Lamb of God. We're going to gather on the altar and pray. I, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm done. I was going to read from the 6th chapter of Proverbs. I might read that anyway. I might just read that right quick. One verse of Scripture from the book of Proverbs. It's chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the just is a shining light. It shines more and more and more and more unto the perfect day. Listen, folks, let's just keep fighting the fight. Stay on the path. Keep pressing. This is the way. This way of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a way of light. We are the children of light. We don't walk in darkness. Those who walk in darkness will find themselves in great despair. But this is a way of life. Salvation is not just a one-time experience. It is a journey. It begins at conversion. But as you go through life, the ways of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, they just keep getting brighter and brighter, more and more We get more and more of the favor of God, the manifestations of His favor, the light and knowledge of the Lord Jesus is given to us as we go about this journey. This is the way. You know, the voice in Isaiah 46 kept saying, "This is the way, this is the way. Come, go in the way. This is the way, walk in it." And that's what we need to do. We need to keep doing what we're doing. We need to keep going to church. We need to keep reading our Bibles. We need to stay on our knees. We need to keep asking the Lord to bless us. We need to keep working for Him, and He will bless us. We'll move into a brighter day tomorrow if we'll stay on course. We'll stay true to Him, repent when we fail Him. When we sin, get right with Him, and keep marching toward the prize. Press toward the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This way, He gets brighter and brighter, doesn't it? I'm happier now than I've ever been in my life. I've got more joy in my life than I've ever had. It gets better with years. It's the only thing that gets better with age. Right? Some of y'all moan this morning, we're groaning about all your aches and pains and ailments and tests and, you know, everything's falling apart. But there's one thing that gets stronger and brighter as you go toward the Lord, and that's the blessings of the Christian movement. The blessings of the Lord. The work of the Lord gets better. And I want to encourage you young people, don't get discouraged. I know there's times where you want to lay down the bloodstained banner. There's times where, you know, you get discouraged and the shield of faith doesn't seem to be as strong as it once was. Or the sword of the Spirit doesn't seem to be piercing the hearts like it once did. And your shoes that have been shot with the preparation of the gospel of peace, they seem to be worn. And the drooping garment that holds the truth together is drooping. And you look down and you just say, "My armor's a mess and the battle's been raging." But listen, keep fighting, and if you fall, fall forward. Because it'll get brighter and brighter. I'm looking forward to the perfect day. John said in First John chapter 3 that we shall see Him as He is. We'll see Him face to face. Paul said we look through a glass darkly, but then we'll see Him face to face. I read that last week. But we're going to see Him as He is. We're going to see Him as the bright and the morning star. I know Him now as the bright and morning star. I preach Him as the bright and morning star. But one day I'm going to see Him as He is. The bright and the morning star, the lion of the tribe of Judah. We're going to see Him as He is, the one high and lifted up as King of kings and Lord of lords. He who has loved us and redeemed us and blessed us and bought us with His precious blood. We're going to see Him in His brightness of His glory when He comes in power and great glory. I'm glad you're here today. Glad I'm here today. But it moves brighter and brighter. More from one grace to another. It gets better and better, as John said in 1 John chapter 1, from one degree of grace to another. We have of His fullness we have received one grace to another grace. From one degree of grace to another. From one degree of brightness to another. And listen, it's going to move to a perfect day. A day where there'll be no more trials. There'll be no more clouds. There'll be no more troubles. I'm going to a place where Jesus, the Lamb, will be the brightness of that city. And there'll be no darkness there. It gets brighter and brighter into the perfect day. Listen, if you're off the path, get back on the path. If you're not in this journey, get back in the journey. If you're not in the way, get back in the way, right? There are times we stumble and we get off the path. I'm telling you, there's a lot of poison ivy off the path. There's a lot of ticks and all these other things that you'll get all over you if you get off the path. Yeah, you got to stay on the path. And if we'll just stay on the path, there are lions and tigers. Pilgrim's Progress, one of my favorite parts of that, where Christian was heading toward the celestial city. There's a lot of messed up people you'll meet on the path. If you've never read Pilgrim's Progress, read that. I encourage you. That's one of the emphasis of this men's conference, is that we need to reread and read. But one of my favorite parts of that book is where Christian got to a place that seemed very dangerous. He could hear the lions. He could hear the tigers. And he was fearful. He was afraid. He didn't want to press forward. He didn't want to keep going on the path.
But that path is the only way, people. You can't turn around. You can't find another way. This is the way. This is the path. And he was trembling with great fear. And there was a watchman on the tower that cried out, "Christian, just keep moving on the forward, keep forward, and stay on the path. The lion and the tiger, they have an invisible chain. They cannot reach you. They cannot destroy you if you'll just stay on the path." And though they roar, that's all they can do. And he moved on. And eventually came to the celestial city. Remember when he first saw it? The brightness. I'm not saying there aren't valleys on this path. And I'm not saying there aren't times where that things get dim. But we know that we've got to keep moving toward the Son of Righteousness. Just moving toward the light. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. He'll see us through. He'll see us through. Well.